Thank you. Just to say, there's probably a number of you still got one more really important question about that church lunch notice. Is it Nigerian jollof or Ghanaian jollof? I don't know. So we're going to assume it's the one you want. Yeah? Let's hope so. That's a very controversial topic of conversation, by the way. And many of us don't like controversial topics of conversation. We want a good topic of conversation, a nice one. And so when the person cutting our hair, who we do not want to disagree with, asks us, you know, we're having conversations with them, we're like, let's keep this in a good place. I don't argue with someone who could, you know, cut all my hair off. Travel plans. Travel plans are great. We've gone past the kind of getting to know you stuff, the usual Q&A, but we're not necessarily going to go to the deep stuff of how life's going. So travel plans, because everyone loves to talk about travel. Everyone talks about things they've been to, places they've been, places they're looking forward to going. And so you can be pretty confident that anyone you speak to about this will want to speak with you about it too. And so I found there's a rhythm that goes throughout the year, kind of according to where we are in relation to key holiday moments. So we're now, obviously, throughout history, many Christians would be like, great, Lent, we're going to focus on Easter. But for people, perhaps in our culture, it's like, great, we can now talk about Easter holiday plans. Where are we going this Easter? And so you have that, and then the holiday time happens, and then you have the chat afterwards. Oh, did you go away anywhere? And we have that chat. And then there's that awkward time when it's really too soon to say, and what are you doing for the summer? But you've got nothing else to say, so it's difficult. Conversations about travel can actually reveal a lot. They can reveal where someone comes from, where the people who mean the most to them are, whether they are pioneers, they're people who love to go to new places, or they're those who like tried and tested locations. I'm going back to where I've been for the last 20 years. Are they jet setters? Are they happy campers? How desperate to flee the dark, cold Scottish winter are they? All these chats and more can be revealed just by having some chat about travel. Now, towards the end of his letter to the Christians in Rome, the Apostle Paul told them about the traveling he had been doing and the plans he had for more, which may not sound like the most thrilling prospect, but it actually tells us a lot about Paul and even more about the God he served. And it also invites us to think about where we're going. And so I'm going to read what he wrote, and then we'll see what it's saying to us. This is in Romans chapter 15. We're going to read verses 18 to 25. Where Paul says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it's written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and that you will assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. This is God's word. And this is, I think, more interesting than anyone else's travel plans. So let's ask God to show us that, shall we? Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your power. We are experiencing both of those here today. And we just pray now that, Jesus, you would continue to speak, continue to make yourself clear to every person in this room, every person hearing this message, Lord. I pray they would have eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and hearts to understand. Lord, I pray you would make us those whose feet follow you. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at three journeys of Paul's, the two that he talks about here, and the one that actually started all the other journeys that we know about. And as we do that, we're going to think about the journey that we are currently on. The first journey It's from Jerusalem to Damascus. And this gives us a bit of a context if you don't know the story. Paul had been a Jew. He was based in Jerusalem, in Israel, the capital city. And he was enraged when the followers of Jesus started to claim that Jesus, who had been very recently crucified, had in fact risen from the dead and was now reigning in heaven and was in fact God. Paul thought this was absolute blasphemy. And so he went everywhere he could to arrest and even kill those who believed this. One time he was headed for Damascus in Syria. He was heading north, but on the road to Damascus, the risen Lord Jesus suddenly appeared to him in glory. And if that wasn't surprising enough, instead of meeting an enemy, Paul met a savior who was full of love and mercy, who had died for him and who was now raised from the dead and reigning. Jesus spoke to Paul, and he showed himself to Paul in power. And in no less dramatic, no, in a, possibly a slightly less dramatic way, but in a no less real way, he's doing that today. Whatever reason you had for coming here today, wherever you feel you're currently heading, Jesus is interrupting you. Jesus is wanting your attention right now and has things to say to you. What will you do? Will you walk towards him, or will you turn away and go your own way? For Paul, there was only one option. This encounter with Jesus totally changed his entire life. It changed the direction of his life. Jesus told him, stop attacking my people, become one of my people instead, and then tell others that they also might become part of my people. And so Paul did what he was told. And that's what we've just read about. The second journey from Jerusalem to Illyricum. This actually covers a lot of journeys over a lot of years. They took Paul, as he tells us, from Jerusalem in Israel all the way around the lands of the eastern Mediterranean through what we know as Syria, Turkey, Greece, and up to the Balkans. That's where Illyricum was. And he wrote to the Romans from one of the cities that he visited, a place called Corinth in Greece. And this is one of these many places he had traveled to, and everywhere he went, he told people and he showed people that Jesus was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. This was not a popular message. Who would believe it? Many didn't. And they gave Paul a really hard time for telling them about it. But he also did see many people believe. Why? Why did that change happen? Well, he tells us in what we've read. He says, I won't venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles, by that he means people who weren't Jewish, to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. You can read a whole lot more about what that looked like in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, of how people heard this unlikely news, this news that had nothing naturally to commend it to them, but they experienced the power of God. And when they experienced the power of God, they believed this news and they gave up everything else to follow it. And so what Paul's travels tell us was happening then is still true for what's happening today. The good news of Jesus, you see, is always on the move. It is always increasing and expanding. It is always reaching new people, new places, even when all the evidence seems stacked against it. That's why there are people today in Edinburgh confessing that Jesus of Nazareth is their Lord and Savior and getting baptized. This happens because the Word of God is on the move and it has reached them and it has changed them. Would anyone have expected this 2,000 years ago when Jesus was being killed on the cross? Well, if they'd been listening to him, maybe they would have done. Because he says in Matthew 13, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. That's a picture of burial. Though it is the smallest of all seed, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. What Jesus had promised would happen, Paul began to see happen. So he says, what Christ has accomplished through me, by what I've said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So he tells us that Jesus didn't just come to give him a job to do, rather Jesus came with him to do that job. Paul had things to say, he had things to do, absolutely. And then Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, said and did a whole lot more. We know from Paul's letters and from the book of Acts what it was that he said, what it was that he did. So let's look at those things because they are still speaking to us today and they still have power to act in us today. Paul told people that Jesus had been sent by God to show us who God truly is and to rescue us from sin and from death, those enemies that are way too powerful that everyone around us is trying to deal with, but no one can cope with by themselves. But Jesus can, because Jesus took them on and he was not overcome by sin and he submitted himself to death that he might then raise again to new life. Jesus took all of God's righteous anger and punishment for the things that we have done wrong. So that if you believe that Jesus died for you and for your sins, your guilt and your shame are taken away, never to be returned to you. He deals with them totally. And instead, you can receive new and eternal life with God. Now, Jesus demands that you put all your trust in him rather than your own efforts. That's what that chat that Carrie helpfully highlighted in all those stories were about. It wasn't about being perfect. It was about trusting fully in Jesus. And Jesus demands our total allegiance to him, regardless of any obligations to other people that you might have. And that can sound costly. That can sound challenging. And it is. And it's the greatest offer you've ever had. Because this life that he gives us is characterized by love and joy and peace. It gives you an invulnerable identity as a chosen child of God. It gives your life meaning and purpose as you follow him. It is the hardest work and the greatest joy. It is who you were made to be. It begins in each person who trusts in Jesus. Now, who gives their life over to him, it begins. And it goes beyond death into being with God forever in his renewed and perfect creation. These were the kind of things that Paul was saying. I mean, it barely scratches the surface of it, but you can begin to sense how radical and all-encompassing this was and how worth exploring it is if you are not yet convinced by it. These are the kind of things Paul said on his travels. What about the kind of things that he did? Well, we know that he was humble, that he was generous, that he was weak, that he was hardworking for the good of others. He was consciously learning to imitate Jesus and become like Jesus in his character as best he could. But he brings our attention here to the more spectacular elements of his ministry, signs and wonders, the kind of things that Jesus did when he was on earth and then promised his followers in John 14, verse 12, that they would do too. These things are demonstrations of God's supernatural power, of how outwith our world he is, his ability to heal people, to release people, to change people, and to change situations in ways that are impossible for us. Paul witnessed blind people receiving their sight. He experienced himself chains that had been put on him, falling off him. He even saw dead people coming back to life. These were signs that pointed people to God, that showed people God's greatness and his love. They were wonders that staggered and confounded people, but led to awe and worship. These, Paul says, are the kind of things that have been happening as I tell people about Jesus wherever I go. And these, I say to you, are the kind of things that God is still doing today. He is still healing people in remarkable ways. I'll never forget speaking to a lady who was holding hearing aids in her hands because she no longer needed them in her ears. I've seen discharge forms with spontaneous improvement written on it. We've had people in this very room healed suddenly by God. He is able to do that. If you want to take someone else's word for it rather than mine, there's a book called The Case for Miracles by a guy called Lee Strobel. It's like, it's not that long, but it's packed with really helpful, really trustworthy accounts of this. But we can also just ask God right now to do the same thing. So I'm going to. Just going to ask you, Lord Jesus, to come in power. And if there's any sickness in this room, if there's any entrapment in this room, just want to ask you now, by your power, to come and bring your healing, to come and bring your release, to come and bring your transformation. Lord, I've not given anyone else here any warning of this, but you knew. You're not taken by surprise. And we've heard today how you care so, so carefully for individuals. So now we pray that your caring, healing power would come and rest on people right here who need it. Lord God, work miracles right now. Thank you, Lord. Now you can feel free. In fact, do please test that out and let us know. And sometimes we find this happens in a moment. Sometimes we find people continue to just try and seek, and then God breaks in. These are the kind of things Paul said. These are the kind of things Paul did. These are the kind of things that Jesus said and that Jesus did. And what followed those things was what Paul described and what we experienced too. People giving their lives to Jesus. That's what we've celebrated here today. And these three people getting baptized, you may say, well, grew up in a Christian family, had a good example. But each of them said, yeah, but there was a decision moment for me. And they are living in a culture, in a world that says, don't do that. Why would they do that? Because the power of God has come into their lives. And so Paul says this is happening in the first century. We're saying it's happening in the 21st century. He said it's happening between Jerusalem and Illyricum. We're saying it's happening in Edinburgh. Actually, it's happening all over the world. Millions and millions of people every year are becoming Christians. It doesn't often get mentioned in the news, but if you know where to look, you'll see it. Even in the most hostile places, Jesus is saving people. So how about you? Paul wrote about what he had said and done. What have you heard? What have you seen? What have Jesus' people told you about him? How have they demonstrated to you his love, his power? They will have done it imperfectly, but that doesn't make it untrue. What have you heard and seen, maybe in his word? You've heard me say a few bits of it today. Maybe there's bits of scripture you know. Maybe you grew up hearing a lot of this. And this is God speaking to you. So often as we read God's words, we listen to him speak, that God's Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to those who are looking for him. And we would love to give you the opportunity to do that, to explore that more for yourself. And so after I've finished in a few minutes, Chris will let you know about how you can start to explore these things with a few other fellow travelers if you wish to. And if you're part of God's people, have you noticed what Paul said? From Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, that's a long way, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. He can't mean that he's spoken to every single person in that vast area, can he? No, of course not. Acts shows us his strategy. Romans backs it up. It wasn't just him that Jesus worked with. Paul tended to focus on the major urban areas, the key cities in a region. That's where he would minister. That's where he said and did amazing things. That's where God worked his power through Paul. And as people responded in faith, they would form communities of believers, churches. And it was Paul's expectation that those churches would then take responsibility for what he had begun, they would continue. And so he gave them this foundation, but it was a vitally dynamic foundation. It was a foundation that they would be able to move. So that believers whose names we mostly don't know, who don't get mentioned in Scripture, but who were just like us, would witness to their neighbors, would share the good news of Jesus by the power of the Spirit, and that some of them would plant more churches. And this is what happened. It did fill that region where Paul was. It filled the whole Roman Empire. It continues to fill the whole earth. And that is how the good news came to Scotland. That's how it reached us. That's how it reached you, wherever you have come from. And so this is where we as believers come into this story. Because you don't have to be the Apostle Paul to have things to say and things to do. Simply identifying yourself as one of God's people gives others the opportunity to find out more about God through you. You have your story, which you can tell. You have the truths of Jesus that you've been taught, which you can point people to. You can share what you have seen him do. God has called you to play your part, and not just you by yourself, but us as a church. We're meant to be part of this expanding kingdom of God, this movement of the good news of Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. And if we obey him, that's what we'll always be doing. So where might God be calling you to travel to? Maybe the new communities that we're establishing in the north of the city and in Midlothian. Maybe there's somewhere else. Maybe you're like, oh, I hope the next place is that King's is about to do. Or maybe there's just a place that's totally different from here that you're like, that's the place I feel God has called me to go to. He has spoken that for a purpose. Paul quotes the prophet Isaiah. Centuries before had spoken, and this was God's will, that those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. God's calling us, if we belong to him, to be a part of this. And this leads us on to the third and final of Paul's journeys. Journey 3, Corinth to Spain via Jerusalem and Rome, which does sound like a great trip. Didn't quite go like that. Because Paul knew that the gospel has power, it's always growing and on the move, he's established these churches in key cities in that region. He knows that the word of God will continue to work, will continue to spread through many other people in that area. And so for Paul, that means he's done there. He's done his work. He says, there's now no place for me to work in these regions. And since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. So Spain is next on Paul's list because no one has yet been there to tell the people there about Jesus. So he's like, great, Spain. It seems like the western edge of the world at that time. So he's like, I'm going as far as I can with Jesus. But before he can go there, he's got an offering that a bunch of churches have gathered for the poverty-stricken church in Jerusalem. And so he's got to take that first. And so he thinks, great, well, I'll go to Jerusalem, I'll do that, then I'll go to Rome, then I'll go to Spain. Now, we've spent a bit of time talking about how exciting and how thrilling it is to follow Jesus and to go with him wherever he wants us to go. The wild and wonderful things that can happen as he displays his power among us. Absolutely concurrent with that, in Paul's experience, was weakness, frustration, and even seeming disaster. And that's kind of what this trip becomes. Paul's got a plan, and you can read about how that plan goes in Acts 21 to 28. He goes to Jerusalem, he causes a riot. That leads to him being arrested. He survives an assassination plot there, but he's kept in custody for several years. Eventually, he is sent to Rome because he appeals for Caesar to hear his case. But even this wasn't straightforward because the ship that he was traveling to take him to Rome after all these years of being kind of stuck It hits a storm. It gets destroyed. He is washed up on the island of Malta. He's like, great, finally. I mean, I'm obviously not in Rome yet, but at least I've made it to an island. That's better than a raging sea. And the first thing that happens is that a snake bites him. I've been trying to commend to you following Jesus. How does this help that? I think it helps in a couple of ways. Because Paul did get to Rome, just not in the way he expected. And actually, we're not sure whether or not he did ever make it to Spain. But we do have one of the most important documents ever written, this letter that he wrote because of his plan to go to Spain. This letter has blessed countless millions of people ever since. Hebrews 12 encourages us, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. We don't know where the race marked out for us is going to take us, but God does. We can't be sure of our travel plans, but God is. Ultimately, the paths his people walk will lead them to him, the joy of eternal communion with him in glory and perfection. But the steps we take in between are known to him also. They are laid out for us, even. So this means we're never far from him, even when it feels like it. And that he will fulfill his purposes for our lives, even when it feels like everything's going wrong. Paul's journey to Rome took an unexpected route. His journey to Spain, we don't even know how that finished up. His journey to Damascus had an unexpected ending. In fact, all those journeys that he references between Jerusalem and Illyricum, you read about them, there's a whole load of unexpected things happening there as well. Unexpected to him, but not to God. God, who had always planned to interrupt Paul's life, give him a new direction, and bless others through him. God knew, and God knows. He knows for you as well. So he's calling you today to keep trusting. However far off track it feels like things have gone, he's calling you to keep believing him. Where are you going today? Don't go your own way. Don't follow the crowd. And don't give up following Jesus if you are doing that already. Because those ways lead only to chaos and disappointment and death. Walk with Jesus. There is no better companion. No one so faithful, so strong, so committed to helping you along the way. The route he takes you on may be surprising to you. Many of us will tell you that we did not expect to be here. But we're so glad that we're with him. And that makes wherever he takes us worth it. So you may need to turn around today. You may need to learn a new way to go. You may just need a fresh encouragement to keep going. But whatever it is, Jesus is willing and able to do all these things. He has been doing them for thousands of years. He's really good at it. He can do it with you. Why don't you ask him to? Let's pray together. Jesus, we just want to glorify you. A word Rachel said earlier about you being the king of our lives, the king of our lives, of all points of our lives. Lord, I want to pray for those who are just going their own way at the moment, going to Damascus, got their own plans. And today, Lord, however imperfectly, you are speaking to them. However in seeming weakness it may be, you are speaking powerfully to them. And I want to ask that your power would be at work right now, that they might suddenly, truly see you and encounter you. And I pray for those of us, Lord, who are, we're just following what you've done. Lord, you've started things and we're carrying them on. Help us to be faithful in that, individually sharing the good news wherever we go. As a church, Lord, we pray you keep us moving. Thank you that you know where you're taking us. So please, I pray for all of us here, give us faith when things do seem all over the place. Give us faith when our plans aren't what's happening. Lord, help us to trust that it's still your plan, that you're still good, that you're still at work. Lord Jesus, we commit our lives to you. We thank you we can talk to you about complexity. We can talk to you about frustration. We can talk to you about doubt, all of those things. We can also listen to you and follow you. Give us the grace to do that, we pray. Amen.
He's going about his own life on the road to Damascus, and Jesus interrupted him and called him into a new and very unexpected journey. And I believe God is interrupting people here today. And you know that Jesus has got your attention today. And you didn't think that's what was going to happen when you came here. I want to encourage you to respond to him, and I want to help you to do that as well. We have a course that we run here at King's called POD, Path of Disciples. And it's a really simple, practical course that you can do in with a couple of other people, two or three other people in a time or place that suits you, where you can learn more about Jesus, where you can take maybe your first steps of exploration on this new journey. And you can find what it means to have Jesus as a firm foundation for your life. If you want to know more about that, maybe you just want to ask questions about that. I want to encourage you to head upstairs straight after the service to our Connect desk. And Guy, who's there, Guy and Jocelyn, they lead our pod course. They coordinate that here at King's. And they would love to speak to you, to answer your questions, and maybe to get you signed up for a pod course in the next little while, in a time or place that suits you. And they also have gospels that they would love to give to you. Maybe you do want to, you've been hearing about Jesus a lot today, and you want to read more. You want to know what it says in God's word about Jesus, about who he is, what he did. And you can do that. We'd love to give you a gospel to help you do that. So please do take those steps to respond. Don't leave here without doing that. When God interrupts our life, it is so important that we respond to that. It really is the most important thing that we can ever do.